Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
In the South, it's always college football season, and the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Now more college football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
It is the Chuck Oliver Show. Dan Matthews in for Chuck here on a Thursday. As I said to begin the show, I'll remind you right now as we start hour two of the show, is that tomorrow Chuck is back. He will be back here in this seat, so you got that to look forward to. And then on Monday, the whole team is back together, so everybody's here. Chuck will still have that base tan, everything of the such, and he's still able to move it right along. Coming up here in about 15 minutes, we are going to be talking with Olin Buchanan of TexAgs.com. We will talk some Texas A&M with him. Olin, our truest reporter today. Bottom of this hour, we will be talking some Florida State with team and recruiting reporter that covers Florida State for 24/7 Sports, Chris Knee with Knowles 247. He is going to join us to talk the latest going ons with this Florida State program, as they've had some hires. They've had some, obviously, some transfer portal additions of the such. So we will cover all of that with Chris Knee. But I did want to kind of make this a little bit about college football, but more or less just about the way we talk sports in general, and also too in the social media age of sports, how we, you know, just kind of arrive at our opinions. And that is, do we really know what people want now? Now, in sports radio, I have said it for the longest time, and a good buddy of mine that does radio locally in Atlanta, Brandon Home Team League, has a really cool line that he calls sports radio. He says, we're in the infotainment industry. I said, man, I like that a lot. Like, that's a really, really great line. Because I've told you before that any sports radio show you listen to, anything. I mean, if you listen to the Joe Rogan podcast, whatever it might be, you know, the Joe Rogan Experience, I guess, is what you're supposed to call it, because I guess it's much more than a podcast. But you get my point, is that you want two things. You want to be entertained, number one, because let's be honest, for most of you that are out there in the car driving around right now, I mean, let's, you know, go ahead and go through the day really quick. You've probably woken up. The kids might have woken you up. The alarm clock might have woken you up. But one way or another, you got up and you're going to work. And it's kind of a little bit of, yeah, it's the same routine. Here we go. The car ride is kind of your place of solace, right? Like, down here in the South, we don't, for the most part, have to commute like they do in Midwestern cities or in the Northeast, like New York, Philadelphia, Boston, those areas. Because of those, it's you're climbing into a metal tube with everybody else on a subway, and your commute is being shared with everyone else. So it's kind of like you're doing air travel every single day kind of deal. And that is something that every single time I go up to New York, I ask my buddies all the time that live up there, whenever I go visit them, I'm like, I don't know how you guys do this every day. They're like, yeah, you get used to it. And it really kind of, for me, I'm like, God, if you give me, you know, being in a car and traffic as opposed to putting your AirPods in and just kind of shutting off the world and getting on a subway, I got to tell you, I think waiting on I-75 or on the perimeter or anything like that on 285 in Atlanta, I think that I'm probably going to take that, because at least I control my environment. And I also, too, can have whatever entertains me. So that's number one. You want to be entertained because you're going to work. Maybe you love what you do for a living. Maybe it's just something that you do because you're really good at it, whatever it might be. But the point is, you want to be entertained, right? So it kind of then leads to what we look for in this industry out of the people who are entertaining us, is that, because I also love to, and my good buddies Andy Staples and Barrett Salee, they talked about this once on their SiriusXM show, and somebody said, I want more talk about strategy. I want more X's and O's, all of that. No, you don't. You don't. And most people out there don't know what people are talking about when you talk about single high safety or, you know, about contain or any of those things. I think people just sometimes just say words in order for people to say, ooh, he said contain. That means he knows football. I need to listen to him more. So, no, we don't want that. And anybody, too, that does the whole, you know, stats, all of that just coming at you, that's not entertaining. That's boring. That's being in college. That is sitting in the auditorium again in college in the same lecture that day, and you're having to take notes, and you're doing all that kind of stuff. And it's like, man, I didn't sign up today to be part of a seminar or to be part of a lecture. Like, I just wanted to be entertained. I wanted to have fun. So I guess that the fun of all of it, too, is that, yeah, I mean, you know, we want this to be a conversation, really, when it comes down to it. We want it to just be a fun time. I mean, that's the thing, and that's why I brought up Rogan earlier, is because, you know, I understand what he brings in terms of, you know, just being polarizing and everything of the such, and people have strong opinions of him. I get that. I just appreciate that it's a relaxed atmosphere, and it's a conversation. And then some people will say, oh, well, the show's too long. I'm not asking you to listen to the entire 3 hours. I'm just saying that I think it's kind of funny. Like, he has comedians on. And I mean, and I also just love, like, conversations like that where it's, like, people that entertain you. And you just kind of, like, get to pick their brain in terms of one comedian that he had on the other day where he was talking about that whenever he's got a comedy special coming up, he gets ready for that like a fighter gets ready for a fight. Like, he trains. Like, he tries to be in good shape for it, because this whole thing is, if I have, you know, sound physical fitness, I probably have a sound mind. So, you know, it's fun to be able to find out things like that. But I think that more than anything, too, in this day and age, is everybody wants to share their opinion. And then there's also, too, another group that they want to be able to share their opinion, but they want to live in a safe space where their opinion is not challenged. And that world sucks. And I want that world to really cease to exist. Because this industry, especially in the sports talk industry, is not supposed to be that. And I also love to, whenever writers try to lament the blowhards on sports talk radio, I can do your job. You cannot do mine. Let's just go ahead and get that out of the way. I have to write a column every single day that I get on this show. You might have to write a column every single day, and you might not. But the point is that this job is not an easy job to be able to put together entertaining sports radio. And I hope that I'm able to do that. But what's also in that world now is that what some people want in that world, and it's just something that is driving this industry that completely drives me up a wall, just insane. Let's go through it a little bit. I was talking about it a little bit with Rob Brown, the crew over on Sidelines. You know, I've joined them every single week. They do a great job over there. And, excuse me, that time of the year as I'm about to get rolling. And he was asking me about Jalen Hurts and just, you know, the media narrative around Jalen Hurts. And I just said, Rob, here's what it really boils down to, is it's guys like Jalen Hurts and guys like Stetson Bennett that people use certain buzzwords where they say the look. And it's kind of like what I talked about the other day with Ed Reed and college coaches and just coaches in general. That whenever people say, oh, the look, what does that even mean? It's easy narratives. It's just something that you can just fall back on, and it's something that's an unchallengeable position that really that's what people want. I mean, we see this all the time in politics now of people. You want to have the finishing move when it comes to arguing politics. The point of the matter is there is no finishing move when it comes to it, because you're eventually just going to end up just insulting each other, and you really just pretty much wanted to get to that point in general because you wanted to have enough people to be able to like your stuff and retweet it and quote tweet it and say, yeah, right on, dude. Great stuff. You had the great point. That guy's an idiot. And it's kind of creeped in a little bit in sports, which, again, I want that world to go away, because I actually do appreciate that there's debate. I appreciate that people come with a point of, no, this is why Stetson Bennett is not going to succeed in football. And that's what I brought up when we were talking about Jalen Hurts, is that that's what people immediately go to is, oh, well, you know, he can't throw the football down the field. Yeah, he can. Oh, well, you know, he's not going to be able to have his game translate to the NFL level. He's a win away from making it to the Super Bowl, and he's a huge reason for it. Oh, he's a system quarterback. That's another one, too. Game manager, all these different types of things. Like, I would just probably say for anybody out there in this segment to kind of challenge you going forward, if I'm putting out a challenge to you, rid yourself of saying these things. Like rid yourself of thinking that, because I think if nothing else, if you're kind of practicing what you're going to say to somebody about somebody whenever they have an opinion on the subject matter, if you find yourself with that, put a stop to it. Like you're almost going through practice in doing this, because it's just, we live so much in this industry in the shallow end of the water on things. And I was talking about this with somebody earlier today about a report of, here, I'll just go ahead and say it, Sean Payton, Peter King, and if I got this completely wrong, then so be it. But I saw where Peter King on the Monday Morning Quarterback said the likelihood is that Sean Payton returns back to Fox next year. And then I saw this morning on Twitter that the two likely destinations for Sean Payton, and of course the person who put it on Twitter corrected me on it, and I appreciate that. And look, if that happens, I'm wrong. I mean, my God, I called Joe Milton, Joe Mixon yesterday. You think I'm perfect at doing this job? No, I'm not. But at least I want to enjoy doing this, and I hope you enjoy listening to me. And if you don't, well, the complaint department is not too far away. But the point is that brings that up and then says, well, the two likely destinations, if he returned back to coaching, would be Houston and Arizona. What? Like, you just said that he's going to, like, more than likely return to Fox, and then the next day, well, he could be here. Like, I almost just kind of think, and here's the other thing is as well that you need to realize in this industry, and I hope I'm not going fourth wall here, or is that even the right? It doesn't matter. But I hope I'm not going that direction. A lot of times it's also, too, you're fed information by people who want to feed information. I don't think that that's actually too untoward because, I mean, we hear it all the time. I mean, whenever there's coaching rumors, a lot of them, it's agents. And it's also, too, for some of these shows, hey, let's bring this up because it's gonna spark conversation. Guys, I just explained who Colin Cowherd and Skip Bayless are right there. That, I mean, they're guys. Hey, like I saw, was it Cowherd or was it Bayless the other day that threw out, would the Cowboys entertain trading Dak Prescott for Aaron Rodgers? Let me tell you what the Green Bay Packers would not do. But it doesn't matter. Is they throw that out there in the shallow end of the pool, and it gets people to have an immediate response, which I guess is what you want to do. But I think more than anything, don't live in the shallow end of the pool. Challenge yourself. Go through some swim lessons and start learning how to swim in the deep end, because it's scary. It's tough at times. And yes, a little bit of the ego does take a hit at times. But at the same time, though, I think it's something that probably improves you as a sports fan and also as a listener as well, if you want to engage people and debate them and do all that kind of stuff, which some people do, which I remember Dan Lebatard brought this up a few years ago and it cracked me up about, and it's so true. I always love, like, whenever people, hey, what's your opinion on this? I immediately now do what Dan Lebatard said to do. What's yours first? I want to know yours. Because immediately what it is it's people, hey, I'm gonna ask him what his opinion is, and then I'm going to go against it. So I can say, hey, I challenged him to a debate. It's like, okay, dude. Like, thanks. Just let me enjoy my drinks and my time with my girlfriend. Like, can I just do that, please? Anyway, all right, coming up next, I talked about them yesterday from a 1,000-foot view. How about a view from the ground? We're going to talk about the Aggies next with Olin Buchanan, TexAggs.com, as he will join us right here, hour two rolling along. Chuck Oliver Show, Dan Matthews in for Chuck right here, Southern Sports Today.
To Southern Sports Today and the Chuck Oliver Show.
The Texas A&M Aggies are the conversation this segment, and we'll get right to it with our good buddy Olin Buchanan, TexAggs.com. At Olin Buchanan is how you can find him on Twitter. And Olin, let's just get right to it and get it right out of the way. What's expected from the Petrino-Jimbo marriage?
I think there's expected is a better offense, a more explosive offense, and quite frankly, most of us would settle for an offense that just gets the plays in on time. A&M, if they you add one more touchdown to their to every game last year, and A&M goes 10-2. And there's no doubt that the problem with A&M last year was just a stagnant offense that too often was very predictable. And I think bringing in a guy like Bobby Petrino, who, A, has a history of producing some productive offenses, and B is old enough to where I think Jimbo's going to respect him and his opinions and give him the – and I think he demanded a certain amount of freedom that maybe a younger guy wouldn't have gotten. I think it's a promising addition. Of course, they got to go out and make it happen. But if you watched A&M every game like I did last year, just the offensive disconnect was alarming, and you got to do something to change that.
We haven't heard much from Jimbo this offseason. Is that normal up to this point?
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, last year was abnormal because of everything. Usually when we hear about Jimbo, it's other people writing about it. You know, like, oh, look, he just got, he got offered this job. Is he going here? Is he going there? It's not typically Jimbo doing things or saying things. We would get access to Jimbo on signing day. Okay, well, we got access again this year, and then, you know, they go about I don't know if they go with vacations or, you know, getting back on recruiting or things like that. But I just don't know beyond the adding of Petrino and now having to find a couple of coaches that, there's been any reason for Jimbo to be, getting a lot of attention.
Let's talk about how A&M has done in the portal. And the most recent addition is receiver Tyron Smith out of UTEP. What type of player are they getting?
Well, you know, based on – look, I'm not going to lie and act like I'm an expert. I didn't watch – I'm not going to say I watched a whole lot of UTEP football. I don't think I watched UTEP at all. But I did look up what the kid did. He was extremely productive, over 1,000 yards receiving, went out and had a nice game against Oklahoma. So he's done it against better opponents. I don't know how good their offense was or, you know, how talented their quarterback was. But I do know this. He's a guy that's supposedly fast and was really productive, and not just in his, you know, against teams in his conference, but, again, against some Power 5 teams. So, with A&M needing depth and maybe even needing a starter, you know, a lot of us, we're still in a holding pattern to find out if Anaya Smith is going to come back and use one of his two years of remaining eligibility or not. But I think, that was an area that A&M absolutely needed to bring some guys in. And I think Smith is beyond a welcome addition, I'll put it. But, you know, you don't want to just assume that a guy's going to be as productive in the SEC as he was. I don't even know what UTEP plays in anymore, what conference they're in, because everything's changed so much. But, you don't assume a guy's going to come in and play at the same level in the SEC. But, hey, here's a guy. They're awful glad to have him. And, quite frankly, A&M needed some receivers.
Yeah, you bring up, just the uncertainty around Anaya Smith. And I saw Dennis Dodd wrote that the other day, and I was checking the time because the draft deadline has passed. What's the uncertainty about Anaya Smith?
Well, is it the draft deadline that has passed, or is it for early entry? See, Anaya's senior. So I don't know that he had to file for early entry. Mm-hmm. At least that's the way I understand it, right?
Right.
But he only played four games last year before he got hurt.
Right.
So, of course, we all know that he could use that as a redshirt year. And then there was COVID that doesn't count against him. So, technically, even though he's a senior, he could have two more seasons. He would love to go, I believe, into the draft. But he is coming off that injury that forced him to miss eight games. And I think there's still some questions about his speed and things like that. So maybe I'm assuming maybe he's waiting for the A&M Pro Day and, see how he's looked at. But we're all kind of in a holding pattern wondering, because if he comes back, I mean, I thought there were two until he got hurt, of course. I thought their two best offensive players last year were Devon Achane and Anaya Smith. So if he comes back, you know, that's that really fortifies A&M's receiving position, but also, you know, gives A&M one of its more explosive players coming back.
No doubt about it. As we talk the Texas A&M Aggies with Olin Buchanan of TexAggs.com. Olin, we got a couple more minutes left here. I saw where Tyler Santucci is another coach taken from Jimbo's staff. He's going to go join somebody he's familiar with, Mike Elko at Duke. How huge a loss is this for this coaching staff, and where do you think they're going to look to try to replace him?
Well, first of all, I don't know how huge it is. I know they liked him a lot, okay? But, to be honest, I thought A&M, and this may not be on him at all, because he didn't come here to coach with DJ Durkin. He came here to coach Mike Elko. Different defensive schemes, right? And now he gets a chance to be defensive coordinator, so I get it. But A&M's linebacker play, I thought, was I'll try to be nice and say suspect.
Gotcha.
Last season at best. And quite frankly, the last 2 years they've had Kendrick Perkins committed and lost him to LSU, and then they had Anthony Hill, five-star guy, committed, lost him to Texas. So you can question the recruiting.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, again, I'm not saying that's all his fault. That says he's a bad coach. I'm just saying that I don't know how it looks. You could spin it either way.
Right.
What they're probably going to do is hire a safeties coach from Ole Miss, whose name right now escapes me. I'm getting kind of old up there if I don't have it right in front of my face. And Durkin likes to coach linebackers. So I think Durkin's probably going to coach the linebackers and bring in the guy from Ole Miss to coach safeties. That's why I'm kind of guessing what's going to happen.
Well, we'll talk about whoever that is with you next time you join us. Yeah. Olin Buchanan, join us here for a few minutes on the Chuck Oliver Show. Olin, always appreciate the time. We'll talk to you here very soon.
Okay, thanks for having me.
I appreciate it. As, you know, transition just continuing there at Texas A&M. And with Anaya Smith, yeah, that was something that I didn't think about, that I guess, you know, he is somebody who could, if he wants to, leave. And it's not necessarily he's leaving early. He's a senior. So I guess we'll have to see how that all shapes out. Let's talk some Florida State. Next, Jimbo Fisher's former stop and a man who can talk all about them is Chris Knee from Knowles 247. We'll get into Mike Norvell's program right here on the Chuck Oliver Show.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hey, sandwich lovers. Today's your lucky day. There's a whole new way to roll for lunch or dinner delight with Nucky's Hoagies in the Roswell Corners Shopping Center. Now open. Nucky's Hoagies in Roswell is family-owned and operated by the Sub-Sisters, Stacy and Shannon, whose love language is food and Nucky's Hoagies, their passion. When you bite into a Nucky's Hoagie, you'll taste the difference. The softest hoagie rolls ever, along with hunger-quenching sandwich combinations. Make Nucky's Hoagies in Roswell on Woodstock Road your new favorite spot for lunch or dinner.
The king of college football, no matter where you go, with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
It is the Chuck Oliver Show. Dan Matthews in for Chuck. 30 more minutes of me, Dan. And then next tomorrow, you get Chuck, which I guess is next tomorrow. And then what tomorrow is, I don't know. Anyway, let's talk some Florida State. Let's do it with Chris Knee of Knowles 247, as you can find him on Twitter at CKnee247. 247 at knee without the K, though. So there you go. N-E-E is where you can find him. Chris, appreciate the time, man. Let's talk about this recruiting class. You guys at 247 have them as the 16th ranked as of right now. So a decent class, but Why has high school recruiting taken a little bit longer for Mike Norvell and his staff to really try to establish for this program?
I think it's a mixture of things. One, they're good at portal recruiting, so I do think they feel comfortable leaning into that to a degree. So it's obviously going to take away spots that were there for high school kids. I think another thing for them with high school kids is obviously they came in during COVID season, so the ability to establish relationships, especially in the footprint, Florida, Georgia, Alabama, those areas, was a little bit more difficult for a staff that was coming largely from Memphis, Tennessee, because they couldn't get out, they couldn't meet with people, they couldn't have people on campus for much of that first year until basically June of their second year. So I think that put them a little bit behind the eight ball. Plus, just to be brutally honest, the program hadn't been very good for several years. Even before they arrived, there had been three straight very down years for the program. Obviously, year one under their guidance was a very bad year. Year two wasn't particularly good either, sub 500, missing a bowl game just barely. So there wasn't a whole lot for them to point to and lean into. So I don't think they ever get that first year bounce that you get because of COVID. And then they really had no momentum because there was nothing to point to. The success of this past season, I think, has started to turn that tide some, getting guys like Hakeem Williams, Lucas Simmons in this past class. I think that speaks a little bit more to their ability to pull in some star power.
And we're going to get into a little bit of the transfer portal here, as you even pointed to, and others have pointed to as well. That's been a huge hit for the Seminoles over the last couple of years. Out of the most recent group they got, who do you think has been the largest get from this portal cycle?
I would probably start with Fentrell Cypress. He's the number one corner, somebody desperately needed. You know, coming from Virginia, all ACC level player, guy that's familiar with the league, comfortable with it. That allows them to kind of figure things out in the secondary. And the main thing they have to replace back there from last season is Jamie Robinson's departure to the NFL. I think Fentrell coming in as a number one corner allows you to potentially move the corner to safety, giving you a little more depth there. It helps. After him, I would say Braden Fisk, the defensive lineman who's coming up from Western Michigan, highly coveted. They beat out Notre Dame, USC, and others for him. Very, very talented, versatile guy. They're adding him to a good D-line group. But I think his versatility will help that depth and will also help them show a lot of different looks, something they want to do that they want to employ. On the offensive side of ball, tight end was a position where they really not had the returns that they would hope for here at FSU in their time here for what they like to do at that spot. Going and getting Jaheim Bell from South Carolina, Kyle Morlock, who's moving up a step from shorter college to here. That's two guys that they'll use to address that. That's sort of what they did last year at wide receiver, where they kind of threw numbers at the problem. And we saw a guy like Johnny Wilson, who came in from Arizona State a season ago. He emerged, became a big piece for arguably one of their best offensive weapons. I think they're going to do the same at tight end. And then, yeah, they bulked up the O-line further, which is always important. FSU, when they had their downfall, a major reason for it was they were so dreadful and thin on the O-line, and that's no longer the case. They are truly a two-deep offensive line with options with a lot of guys who have played a lot of college downs, adding Jeremiah Byers from UTEP, Keandre Jones from Auburn, and Casey Roddick from Colorado this cycle were all very important.
Again, talking with Chris Nee of Knowles 247. And is it Braden Fiske or Fisk?
I believe it's just Fisk. I don't think we're throwing the Y sound on there.
Right.
For him.
Gotcha. Yeah. And I mean, where I'm going with this is I know that ESPN's pretty high on him in terms of what he adds to this defensive front, but it seems like that was also another bit of emphasis for this transfer portal cycle, that they really wanted to bolster the defensive front. Did they succeed?
Yes, I would say that we've talked about Fisk. He's a nice interior guy that can move around, do different things with. He is a guy that actually was considering going to the league out of Western Michigan this past year, but he had a shoulder he had to get cleaned up because of a coaching transition there. That's why he decided to hit the portal, ended up here. Gilbert Edmond, who's coming in from South Carolina, he's a multi-year guy. He'll help them at the defensive end position. He'll add depth behind a guy like Jared Burrs. He'll push a guy like Derek McClendon. He's a high upside guy who they'll get a couple years out of. And then Daryl Jackson, who Daryl grew up near here. He's from Quincy, which is neighboring county to Tallahassee. He was at Miami, began his college career at Maryland. He's returning here. He does have to get a waiver to play this year. The belief is that he'll be able to because illness and the family is the reason he's coming back to near home. Daryl Jackson is a guy who started for Miami, big body, 6'6", 300-pound interior lineman, very wide person. He will, again, bolster that depth on the interior D-line. And, you know, you get a guy like Fabian Lovett pass on the NFL draft and come back, and you got a guy like Jared adversity do the same at edge. You're adding more guys here. It's not so much about replacing missing pieces as much as bolstering your depth, allowing there to be high-level rotation, allowing guys to go out and kind of play to their max, knowing that, yeah, there's the next guy up, and he can play at a high level too. And I think they've done a very good job of building that depth year over year in their time here, and they've used the portal to do a great deal of that.
Yeah, before we get to a guy you brought up, Jared Verse, I mean, you hit on something that I think is an interesting point. I mean, how refreshing is that for Florida State to finally be able to say, we've got depth? I mean, where that's something that the past few years probably hasn't been something they've been able to say with as much confidence.
Yeah, I mean, I can unflinchingly say that this is by far the best roster on paper that I've covered since 2017. I think it will be a better team than 2017 produced. But as far as talent, capable guys, a good-looking two-deep depth that you expect, it's pretty impressive because it had fallen off a great deal over the last half decade for them. It's a credit to what they've done. They've leaned into the portal. It's kind of funny. They did the portal initially out of necessity just to get to 85 players on the roster available. They ended up being pretty good at it, hitting with guys like Jermaine Johnson, Keir Thomas, and others along the way. And it's made them somewhat a transfer destination. Now they've used it to bolster a roster, filling in some of those middle classes where they were thinned out by guys departing in their early days here. And they've also added high school guys, but with the transfer additions, those high school guys have an allotted window for development instead of being thrown in the fire, maybe when they're not prepared as a first or a second year guy.
Again, talking with Chris Knee of Knowles247. You can find him on Twitter at CKnee247. And Jared Verse, I mean, you talked about Fabian Lovett coming back. That's a huge player to have back on the roster for 2023. But Jared Verse, I mean, was just an absolute animal last season. I mean, let's take just two parts here, Chris. How much of a surprise was it that he decided to come back? And, I mean, just how excited is everybody that that production has a chance to be back on the field in 23?
From a surprise standpoint, I would say immediately around the program, it wasn't a shock. There was consideration each way by him, but I think he understood that for all the highlights he produced and the really good moments, it's a matter of needing to be more consistent, tap into who and what he can be a little bit more. We have to remember that. I mean, he went to Albany 3 years ago now as a tight end. His body developed a great deal during COVID, and he's kind of turned into what he is, but he's still relatively young, somewhat raw as a D end. So I think he feels like there's a lot he can do to improve his stock and maybe cast away any and all doubt that NFL teams may have with regards to him being a potential first-round talent. Him coming back was huge. You know, alongside Jordan Travis, Trey Benson, Fabian Lovett, several others, pretty much the only person that truly did decide to leave here was Jamie Robinson, who's going to be drafted probably in the first 3 rounds. Everybody else that had a shot decided to come back, run it back, put it on the table for 2023. And Verse, behind only probably Jordan Travis, probably drove home the most excitement of that decision. But anytime you have a high-level pass rusher who's produced at a really good clip, you feel really, really good about what your defense can be. And the thing with Verse is last year, he got banged up in the Louisville game early in the year. I don't think he was himself for a few weeks. It took him a while. But when he was on, when he was good, he's as good as anybody in this league on the defensive side of the ball. I think he understands he can come back, earn some hardware, some national accolades, and kind of cast away any and all doubt about how good he can actually be.
Chris, you're there every day. You talk to these guys. You talk to the coaches. So you know what the pulse of this team is. And there's going to be a lot of expectations. Spring practice, the summer, everything. Probably going to be a top 10 football team. Twofold on this one. Can this team be able to stand up to those expectations? And number two, how do you think they react to said expectations?
It's an excellent question. It's something I've thought about. It's funny. Mike Norvell never really talked about championship and next level stuff with FSU until around the bowl game this year, outside of his introductory press conference where he was casting that long-term plan of what he wanted to be. He never really talked about that the last couple of years. It was always a build. It was a climb, those things. The bowl game surrounding the Cheez-It Bowl in Oklahoma was the first time I really recall him talking about the aspirations of championship in the immediacy of the upcoming future. Nobody on this team that's currently on this roster, outside of maybe a transfer or two who experienced at their previous institution, has really dealt with the expectations. FSU was not viewed in a bright light the last couple of years. The expectations for last year going into the year was get above 500, get into a bowl game, probably be a 7-8 win team, maybe slightly more. They go and win 10 games. They win their bowl game. They had a shot in every game they played. It's why they now have the championship hopes, championship aspirations, championship goals. They are leaning into it. they want to do it. They believe in it. You know, as we talked to, we've been getting newcomer interviews here the last week and a half with new guys. They are walking into a locker room that is talking about, we're going for more, we're going for ACC championships, and what comes along with playing for an ACC championship, which is higher aspirations, higher goals. So they certainly believe it. You know, you're led by your players, and Jordan Travis is a dude who wholeheartedly believes in himself and believes in what they can be. And I think when you have that leadership at the top combined with the coaching and the message is consistent throughout, that I think it can take hold. But it will be interesting the first time to kind of get popped in the mouth and have a moment next year of how do we handle this, because response is such an interesting thing that you don't know till it actually comes.
Yeah, I mean, and, you know, you just talked about somebody who I'd mentioned having a chance to visit with him the last couple of years at ACC kickoff. That's Jordan Travis. And, you know, Chris, I'm sure you could probably agree with me on this. The guy just oozes being genuine, right? Like, I mean, yeah. A lot of confidence, you know, there's all of that. So, like, when he says what he says to Pro Football Focus the other day, that's not bravado. That's just, no, this is what I believe, and this is how I feel about myself as a player, right?
Yeah, I've done this for 20 years. I've never seen an individual grow both in confidence and ability as much as Jordan Travis. And it's truly amazing to watch happen. And he went from, you know, when he first got here, there was questions, can he throw, all of that. He had the BC game where he showed his athleticism, then he becomes a starter, gets banged up a lot in his first year, and then year two he stays healthy, starts putting it together, gets some weapons around here, and man, we're off to the races. He believes in who and what he is. He believes in what this program is. He believes in the people that believe in him, which is the coaching staff. And it's really cool to watch happen in real time, the evolution of Jordan Travis. And, yeah, those things he's saying to Pro Football Focus and other outlets and that he's talking about, he believes it. Like, it's not just, you know, cool words put down on paper. That kid believes everything he's saying about what this program can be under his guidance and this coaching staff.
And we'll get you out on this one, and that is, you know, you mentioned about Jamie Robinson and what he meant to that secondary last year, even without him this year. I mean, how does that group look, and can it be a position of strength for Florida State like it has been in the past?
I think if they end up in the portal for anybody else when the window reopens after the spring, it would probably be a safety. I'll say that up front. I still think that's a position where maybe they add another body, somebody with some experience, at least to add to the depth, not necessarily a starter type. They do have Akeem Dent coming back. He's played a lot of football. He hurt his foot against Oklahoma in the bowl game, so he's coming off that. I don't know how available he'll be in the spring, but he's a well-experienced player. Shaheen Brown's a younger guy that they believe can be pretty good. He's got a little bit of a multi-tool toolbox like Jamie Robinson had, where he can clean a lot of things up, be physical, play 12 parts of the field. He's real interesting and intriguing, but his role is going to go from a little bit to a lot because of the departure of Jamie Robinson. As I mentioned earlier, with the introduction of Fentrell Cypress to the roster, I think there's a possibility of a corner maybe moving to safety. That's an interesting spring storyline. I don't really have a pulse of which guy I definitely think it will be, but like Renardo Green, who played corner last year, has previously played safety. Jerrion Jones has the size of a guy who could potentially move to nickel or safety. So they could get a little creative and move guys around. So it's going to be one of the bigger spring storylines of how they built that depth in the secondary and what they do there. I think when you're talking about this roster, that's one spot. It's not a weakness necessarily, but it's probably the biggest question mark going into the spring.
Chris Knee, again, Knowles247, you just heard, he gave you a great information about this 2023 Florida State team and this program as a whole. He is the team and recruiting reporter who covers the Florida State Seminoles for Knowles247. Find him on Twitter at CKnee247. Chris, appreciate the time as always. As we get closer to spring practice and go throughout the offseason, we'll definitely have you back on here very soon.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me.
Awesome. Appreciate the time as always. And look, I got to tell you, you know, twofold with Florida State is, and I'm a big twofold guy, if you're not catching on here, is number one, like Chuck says, good things for good people. I mean, that's a program that I've never had anything but a great interaction with that program, with whether it be Mike Norvell, the players, their sports information department with Derek Satterfield and the crew down there in Tallahassee. They're all great. And the other part of it as well is they show you exactly like what Dabo has shown you. Guess what? You don't have to close yourself off from the media in order to win football games. They were a 10-win football team last year, and you just heard what he said. New coming players meeting with the media. Whenever they hire new coaches, hey, guess what? They meet with the media. Just because you say, hey, only the head coach and only this select group of players, That's why we win games, because we're so focused. It has nothing to do with that. So I appreciate the fact that they're open and honest. And I'm not saying that other programs aren't honest, but I'm just saying, like, you don't need to have this, like, you know, just rigid approach to talking about your football team. We're talking football, all right? We're not talking, you know, trade secrets in terms of the war and everything like that. Like, we're not doing any of those things. We're talking football. Brought up Dan Le Batard earlier. I love the line he had a few years ago. We're talking about a game where men run around with helmets on and hit each other. Do we really need to be that serious about it? Let's have a little fun here. Huh? Come on. Why not? All right. Coming up next, you should never be here, but here we are. I'm talking about one guy in particular and why this might be a method to his madness and why he might be right. We'll talk about that to close out the show here on a Thursday. It's Dan Matthews in for Chuck. This is still the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
It's always college football time in the South. Now back to more of the king of college football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
Jeff Levy is one of the best play callers in college football. I put him up there with Kendall Briles, with Steve Sarkisian. I put him up there against anybody else. Lane Kiffin, I think he's incredible. The fit, which you also mentioned, would be intriguing. So does he want to leave, getting everybody back together there in Norman, where things didn't go according to plan last year? And then two, how does it work?
Cole Kubelik talking about the fit of whether or not Jeff Lebby would work out if indeed he were to leave Oklahoma and go over to Alabama, as he was on the Paul Feinbaum show, as a matter of fact, talking about that very thing. So, I mean, there's been a lot of thoughts on this for what, you know, Alabama wants from their offensive coordinator position. I mean, we talked about it a little bit yesterday with Clint Lamb from the Bama Insider. If you missed that, Southern Sports Today, the app. Go download the Southern Sports Today app. SouthernSportsToday.com. If you're a little old school that way, you know, you can do that as well. But the app, it's so easy. It's free. All those different types of things. Wherever you find apps to put on your device, that's where you can find the Southern Sports Today app. So both hours, every single day, you know what we do around here. It's up there on the Southern Sports Today app. It'll be that way today. It'll be that way tomorrow when Chuck is behind this microphone. And it'll be that way as long as we are around. All right. Stetson Bennett, there are reports out there that he did have an invite to the Senior Bowl and that he turned it down, that he's not going to go with it. And some people might say, oh, man, it's a bad couple of weeks for Stetson. But Chris Mortensen of ESPN was on 6A The Fan in Atlanta, and he talked about this very thing.
He has an invitation, but there's some lack of communication. Who knows? Maybe Stetson's a little bit irritated that it would take this long. But I think you and I text about this. You know, there was some respect for what had happened in the Georgia tragedy and the post, you know, national championship celebration with the services and everything. And I think Jim Nagy, the director of the Senior Bowl, just wanted to respect that before they move forward with issuing an invitation. But so I no doubt that he wants to play. All he has to do is pick up the phone, or if he's in Mobile.
Wow.
Go find Jim Nagy. I'm coming.
Yeah, the wow right there, Buck Ballew there on 6A The Fan in Atlanta. And I think that immediately this is met with people saying, man, that's a bad look. I mean, you're turning down an opportunity to be able to meet with teams, let them get to know you, and also be able to have a chance to impress too as well. I mean, if he goes down there in the practices, because little known secret here, you know, the game is a great thing at the end of the week. The practices are the ones that the teams are all there for. And also, too, you know, the players. I mean, you'll even have some guys who say, yeah, I'm not going to play in the game. You know, if they do incredibly well in the practices, they say that. So there's that happens as well. And some people might say, yeah, that's a bad look, because we've seen other players do it before. And NFL teams did not like that. But here's the part that I think most people are not necessarily thinking about with Stetson. Is I get, you know, the bad look part, the parade, how it was, how he reacted. Him getting into it with an Atlanta radio host on Twitter, and then this, it all kind of seems to fit together, right? What if Stetson's saying, and also his representation is telling him, hey, take some time, go to wherever, Florida, Arizona, wherever it might be, and get ready for the NFL draft? as it's an opportunity for you to be able to try to get prepared for the combine. And then also, too, likely he will not throw at the combine, or maybe he will and throw at pro day. Because also, too, what did Stetson finish the season off as? A national champion, most outstanding offensive player in both games. He finished high. If he goes down there to Mobile, has a bad week, throwing the guys that are not his receivers, then his stock diminishes even more than some people might believe it already is. But a chance for him to be able to go there and impress even more, and who knows? He's going to have his chance to talk with teams. I think that's more the latter than it is him just being like, nope, I'm the bad boy of this draft, and I'm going to continue to be that way. I don't think that's the case at all. That's going to do it for us here on the Chuck Oliver Show. Dan Matthews in for Chuck today. David Holloway behind the glass. Chuck, back tomorrow. This is still the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
Spring is here, and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.